Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? Jay Pagliaro here on Pull No Punches Radio, brought to you by the Work and Shoot Radio Network. Again, Jay Pagliaro with me, and joining me at this time, for the Bellator promotion, July 18th, excuse me, for Bellator in Connecticut. Tell us a little bit about you, who you're fighting, and a little bit about what's going on that night.
What's going on that night? So I'm going to be making my Bellator debut on July 17th. The opponent I'm fighting is actually somebody who I have fought recently. I did knock him out in the fourth round last time we fought. But, you know, I said I wasn't going to give him a rematch. But you can't really say no to a big promotion when you get that opportunity.
Definitely, I know you spent a lot of time, you know, in the regional circuit in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and in the Northeast, trying to get this opportunity. How big is it for you to get into Bellator, knowing that right now you could argue they're 1A right up there with the UFC in terms of the biggest promotions in MMA?
I mean, this opportunity is incredible. I've had all in all between my amateur and pro fight. This is going to be my 19th fight. And it's almost one of those milestones that I said I wanted to, you know, get to that Bellator UFC level. I'm so pumped that I finally made it. You know, I'm going to be able to fight close to my hometown and put on a show for everybody.
Obviously, you hold a win over your opponent coming up here on July 18th in Connecticut. Yeah, this is held at the Mohegan Sun, if I'm not mistaken. In terms of preparation, how do you prepare for somebody you've already fought and already beat? How do you prepare yourself not to get, dare I say, a little bit too full of yourself?
I've kind of done what I've always done. I've had a great fight camp, working with John Connors over at Connors MMA and Tom Hafford over at US MMA. I'm just trying to make my strength stronger. I've broken down video. I know very well what he's going to be working on to defend for me. It's kind of just doing what I do and sticking with my game plan.
Now, with this contract with Bellator, is it a one-shot deal or is it a multi-fight contract? Or
Right now, it's only a one-fight contract. I have been told, with a win and an impressive fight, it can be signed to a two-fight contract, which would be great to kind of get on that Bellator circuit.
Now, a little bit about Bellator, ladies and gentlemen. I know some people, you know, consider the UFC as the promotion, but I said at the beginning of the interview here, I think that right now Bellator, at worst, is the number two promotion in the world. For the up-and-coming fighters like yourself, Billy, what are some of the benefits of fighting for Bellator? I don't want to say rather than fighting for the UFC, but as an alternate to fighting for the UFC.
I really like I'm going to enjoy this opportunity to fight for Bellator. Obviously, right now, the big thing going on is sponsorships. Myself, I got a bunch of local sponsorships and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not going to say how much, but, you know, I can, you know, a guy in the UFC right now that has less than five fights, I can pretty much say I've made more than sponsorship than what they're going to be getting from that deal. So I'm looking forward to, having a long career with them.
And I want to point that out, what Billy just said there, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you're talking, you know, Bellator. Again, not to knock them, but for a casual fan, it's the UFC and everybody else. The fact that Billy Joe Vanella, great fighter, is going to be making more fighting for Bellator and sponsorship than he will in the UFC, to me, speaks volumes. And to me, Billy, I think that without disrespecting the UFC as a whole, I think this Reebok deal really opened the door for Bellator and World Series of Fighting and even Titan FC to take steps forward. And dare I say, close the gap between them and the UFC in the pecking order?
I look at that sponsorship deal, and like I said, I think I agree with you. I think that those other big promotions worldwide, I think they're going to be signing some big names in the future, just because, you know, you have a lot of guys that are losing a lot of money, and not everybody can just fight. You know what I mean? A lot of guys, they need to fight, and they also need to work a full-time job, you know, so it's going to be a big game changer coming up soon.
Well, we've already started seeing it too. We've seen, you know, Josh Koscheck, a 24 fight UFC veteran, you know, every fight he's had minus the first two of his career have been in the UFC. He made the jump. I mean, Phil Davis, you can say what you will about Koscheck. Some can say four fight, five fight losing streak, but Phil Davis was a number six light heavyweight in the world. He made the jump. I mean, you're going to see a lot more because, again, fighting, you weren't making a ton of money in the UFC. You know, even now, if you look at the pay scale that these fighters are making in the UFC, minus the 5%, we're talking the Rouseys and, you know, the McGregors and, you know, the high-level fighters, you know, the 95% is barely scraping to get by. I don't think people understand the pay scale, Billy. I mean, you know, well, people look at the pay scale and say, all right, he got paid 10 and 10. All right, so let's say you make your UFC debut and you win. You're getting $20,000. That's not your typical $20,000, though. I mean, how much of that actually winds up in your pocket when it's all said and done?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people don't realize, like, you know, training costs money. You know, driving to the gym costs money. Your supplements cost money. You know what I mean? Having a healthy diet, not just eating junk and, you know, actually eating nutritious food, that costs money. Your management costs money. People don't realize, like, all this stuff does add up. And, you know, you do need guys that they can't just live off fighting. They do, like I said, they do need to have their full-time job. You know, it's all in a good balance.
Exactly. And that's why I think the sponsorship, for those that don't understand why sponsorships and why this is such a big deal for the fighters, why so many fighters are against this Reebok deal, is because sponsors were what put the money in the fighters' pockets. Almost, you know, it was almost more than what they were making in the purse. I mean, case in point, I know a female UFC fighter that's out here in Arizona that made $32,000 in her debut fight for the promotion in terms of sponsorship alone. She was making 8-8 to fight. You know, now under the UFC pay scale, under this Reebok deal, same fighter who was making $32,000 in sponsorship, Billy, is making $2,500. I mean, I'm not a mathematician. There's a reason I'm a radio show host and I'm a commentator, but I don't think I need to point out the mathematics of this and how much of a difference that makes in somebody training, to be honest.
Absolutely.
You know, again, the big deal for you being a fight for Bellator, being honest, I mean, they're doing some good things in the MMA scene. I mean, say what you will about the, you know, the Kimbo Slice Ken Shamrock fight from a couple of weeks ago. I think we both can agree that wasn't a nice way of putting it. That wasn't the most exciting for, I don't want to say exciting fight, but that wasn't the, it certainly is never going to win fight of the year in any category. As a matter of fact, it's more likely to be in the Wrestling Observer as probably one of the more entertaining fights of the year. That fight drew 4 million viewers, though. I mean, when you're getting Bellator on Spike TV, and here's another thing, Billy, with Bellator, you're fighting on free TV. You're not fighting for $60 on pay-per-view. So that opens even more opportunities, in my opinion, for you to gain sponsorships and you to get to do this for a living, which I think you're long overdue the opportunity.
Absolutely. You know, it's you know, I keep getting people asking me, like, oh, am I going to see you on TV? See you on TV? I'm like, no. And I tell them I'm just on the prelims. But, you know, you can also stream it live through a couple things. You can watch the prelims, you know, on Facebook and stuff like that, which I think is kind of cool because, you know, I'm going to have a lot of fans and stuff that aren't going to be able to make it that are still going to be able to kind of see me make my debut on a big show.
Now, you mentioned they can check it out on Facebook. I believe they also can check it out on Spike TV, if I'm not mistaken, or on SpikeTV.com, the website, if I'm not mistaken. Or
I
could
I haven't dialed into it much. I've just been concentrating on, you know, my fight camp and stuff like that. So I'm sure other people are looking into it to be like, you know, oh, how can we watch him? You know, so.
We'll keep you posted, too, ladies and gentlemen, as where you can check out Billy's fight. Plus, great night of fights going on. I mean, you know, took a look at some of the other fights on the card. I mean, Ryan Quinn, Waylon Lowe, you don't get a better fight than that. Two good fighters that really, like yourself, long overdue the big opportunity. You know, the whole card top to bottom is a stacked card. I definitely recommend anybody check it out. Speaking of things to check out, Billy, you got a pretty nice-looking shirt you're for, selling there. Where can people check it out and purchase one?
Check it out. You can hit me up on Facebook. Just follow me or send me a friend request, Billy Giovanella. Or you can also follow me on Instagram at B Giovanella. You know, I'm always getting new followers and stuff like that. So just hit me up on any of those social media sites.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is the one and only Wolverine. We'll call him Hollywood. It's an inside joke between Billy and I. It's probably an inside joke Billy doesn't want me to share. But be sure to check him out coming up on July 18th. For Bellator in Connecticut, can be seen live on Spike TV. And also stay tuned to Billy's Facebook and my Facebook, and we'll let you know where you can stream his fight and the other great prelim fights of that night. Billy, any final comments you'd like to make for the listening audience, sponsors you'd like to give a thanks to or the like?
No, just say, you know, shout out to all my sponsors. You know, I try to keep everything local. You know, Steve McDonald Construction, TJ's Bar and Grill, ATR Tile Boston, Geo Construction. I know there's a bunch more, but, you know, I like to, you know, I never take a sponsor with stuff, you know, that I don't, you know, approve of or anything like that. You know, I got a nice sponsorship from Q5 Combat up in Maine, Bill Thomas up there. You know, they're kind of like my supplement sponsorship. You know, and it's stuff that I like, you know, so it's I'm excited to have them on board.
Make sure to check them out, ladies and gentlemen. Give them the respect they deserve. The sponsors, folks, are the ones that keep the fighters doing this. Believe me, it certainly isn't the pay us, the promoters, it's the sponsors that keep these guys doing and fighting at the highest level. Billy, thank you again for joining us. I know it's late. We'll keep you hanging too long, but thanks for the interview. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Billy. That was Billy Jovanellis, the Wolverine, Hollywood, whatever you want to call him. Great up-and-coming star in the Bellator promotion. Take this opportunity to kick it over to my co-host with the most here, Zach Harris. I think he's tuned in here. Finally managed to get all our technical shit taken care of. Zach, you with us?
Yes, I am. There's goddamn technical errors. Pains in my ass.
Pains in the ass, pain in the head. All that fun stuff. So, Zach, fill me in, man. What's going on with that? I know you've had a lot of stuff going on in Maryland Championship Wrestling that you want to discuss. Obviously, the great night of Monday Night Raw. The floor is yours, my friend. The platform is yours. Take it away.
All right. Well, with Monday Night Raw, we just saw an excellent main event with Cesaro and Cena, with Cena getting the win, and then Kevin Owens attacking Cena at the end and getting attitude adjustments and rolling out and Cena celebrating at the end. What I want to focus on is actually Maryland Championship Wrestling. We had an event back on June 19th called Ladies Night. It was four women's matches, four gentlemen's matches. And I'm just going to run down the card real quick. We had Kimberly facing Mandy Leon from ROH. We had the Punk Rock All-Stars facing Set Up. We had Renee Michelle facing the third-generation sensation, Tessa Blanchard. We had King Ryan McBride versus L.I. Green. We had an eight-man tag match of Phoenix Fury, Ron Paul Jourdain, Matt Alviar, and Tony Diggs versus Andrew Steele, Brandon Money Green, Cesar, and Oakley Woods, with Mick Foley as the special enforcer. After that, we had Brandon Scott versus Drolix. Then we had the Hellcats versus Kevin X Ectorage. Then we had Ken Dixon and the Dixon Line Security against the MCW champion, the Bruiser. And then we had Mickie James against Amber Rodriguez for the MCW Women's Championship. The night as a whole was outstanding. First match was Kimberly versus Mandy Leon, with Kimber getting the win. It was a good match, you know. Great audience. So we had us down in Glen Burnie. Match number
Kimberly, that was the internet sensation for that rather unfortunate beatdown the guy gave her. We're talking the same gal.
Yes, that is the Kimberly that got powerbombed by Chris Dickinson. And the thing was that, I know it's a while ago, but I talked to some people, it was totally planned out. It was not just, oh, he's got a powerbomber and it looks horrible. It was made to look like that. Actually, the promoter got a call from Road Warrior Animal saying he didn't want him on the show that he was being on in 2 weeks because of that video. But going on, next we had the second match of the night was Punk Rock All-Stars, Sean Cannon, and Drake Carter versus Fed Up, C-Fed, G-Fed. The Punk Rock All-Stars, this is a special challenge, I'll say, match to get into MCW Shen, which has been going on for 15 years. It's coming up in 2 weeks on the 19th, or the 18th, I apologize. Or sorry, next week. It was the winner of this match got to face the American Wolves, or the Wolves, Dave Richards and Eddie Edwards. The Punk Rock All-Stars got the win with a can of hair dye to the face of G-Fed to get the win. Renee Michelle and Tessa Blanchard, possibly match of the night, just because of the women's match. Great match overall. Lots of ups and downs. Renee Michelle gets the win on that. And then a pick-your-poison match with Bruiser and Ryan McBride having this back and forth for the past couple months. Ryan McBride defeats L.I. Green, who was a student at who is a student, was a student at the MCW training school, has tried out with ROH, has been, I have nothing but good things to say about Lai. He's a great guy, works his ass off. He's actually the partner of MCW's Patrick Clark on Tough Enough, but of course we had to break that. Tag team can't be there anymore because Pat's on Tough Enough. That was a great match overall, with King Ryan McBride winning that one. And we had an 8-man tag match, which kind of got a little honky, a little wonky, not honky, wonky. With Phoenix Fury, Ron Paul Jourdain, Matt Alvar, and Tony Diggs defeating Andrew Steele, Brandon Money Green, Cesar, and Oakley Woods in a decent match. After intermission, we had Brandon Scott and Drolix, who just, for the Rage Championship, it's almost like the MCW Intercontinental Championship, we'll say, with that ending in a 15-minute time limit. Then the next one was Hellcats against Kevin Eck, formerly of the WWE creative team, the entourage of Eric Chappell and Dirty Money. Hellcats win and keep their MCW Tag Team Champions. Now they go on to face the entourage setup and Black Wall Street in a fatal four-way for the Tag Team Championships at Shamrock Cup. Match 8 was Ken Dixon and his Dixon Line security of Joe Keys and Rob Locke versus Bruiser in a 3-on-1 pick-your-poison handicap match. The Dixon Line got the win with some underhanded tactics. And match 9 was the main event, first time in Maryland history, was Mickie James against Amber Rodriguez, the MCW Women's Champion, with Victoria, a.k.a. Tara, a.k.a. Lisa Marie Varon, as the special guest referee, and Melina as outside enforcer. Match was a great match. Mickie James wins on a DDT, but before that, gets kicked in the back of the head by Melina. Then Melina gets widow's peaked by Victoria. And Mickie hits the DDT to beat Amber Rodriguez and win the MCW Championship. Overall, a great night of wrestling that night. You can catch us next week on Saturday, July 18th, at the Joppatown Flea Market. We're going to have Roddy Piper, Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards, Angelina Love, Velvet Sky, the MCW Champions, the Bruiser, the Hellcats, Shane Strickland, Matt Cross, and much more. Go on to MarylandWrestling.com for all your information for tickets and event info. And that's really all I gotta say about MCW. We've got a lot of good stuff going on here, man. And with MCW, we've got Pat Clark right now in Tough Enough, and it's an honor to actually have him be a friend and know the guy. Great, great wrestler. Everyone thinks he's getting backed by Matt Hardy and Mick Foley and Jim Ross, countless other people. And I'm actually watching the replay of last week's episode too. So I got nothing else.
I will tell you, your boy, I've been watching Tough Enough, your boy on there barking up the MMA tree. I don't necessarily know if that's the best of ideas to go up that route, my friend.
Oh, with Tanner?
With Tanner, yeah.
Now, do you know of Tanner's work?
Of Tanner's what?
Do you know of Tanner's work? Have you ever seen him fight before?
Yeah, I've seen him. I mean, I've seen him fight. He's legit. He's definitely a legit fighter. Got some good ground game, good striking. He's sort of an up-and-comer, but, at the end of the day, this is pro wrestling. And I will say this much, Patrick has made a very, very positive first impression on the IWC for his he seems to be the most advanced in the house, you know, in a house full of Raw people. You got, you know, your boy who really stands out like a sore thumb for being advanced and ahead of the game.
And you know what? He's only 19 years old. He is 19 years old. He started training when he was 18. He was training at the MCW school, and now he is on Tough Enough.
So you got to, I'm sure, deal with something on an in-depth basis outside of what people have seen on TV. What can people expect about D. Patrick? I mean, tell us a little bit about Patrick as a person. You know, why we should rally behind this guy.
Patrick, oh man, he is probably one of the greatest people you'll ever meet. He's a good guy overall, just like nicest guy you'll ever meet. Smart as anything, smarter than anyone you'll know. His wrestling history is up there. It's like he can probably school most of the people on the show in wrestling history. Just as well as advancement of where he is. He's 19. When I was 19. I was just behind a camera, not even, you know, just learning how to run the ropes, and I didn't even get that far.
2 years old, where you're at, it's a tough business. I mean, to start now, I will say he's got a great opportunity because, you know, at just 19 years old, he's been handed a goldmine opportunity, and even if he doesn't win the competition, if he has a strong showing on it, which so far he has, even if he has a strong showing on it, you know, the sky's the limit for what this kid's going to get. Especially with his attitude.
Oh, totally. If he gets eliminated within the first half, I'll be shocked. Like, yeah, he's gonna be good.
I think it's gonna come down to. I think honestly, he's gonna be for the final three. I think it's gonna be him, probably Tanner, and. I'm on the fence about, you know, I think Josh has the tools that the WWE look for, but that GV, you can't take nothing away from him on the men's side. I mean, people seem to really gravitate behind him, despite the fact that he doesn't look the part of a pro wrestler. I mean, let's be honest, he's short, he's flabby looking, he speaks with a lisp. I mean, he's basically Forrest Gump with man kids. So, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of the final three. It's going to come down to him and Josh, I think. As the fine third and final one. As for women, I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, none of them really stand out to me at this point. You know, that Diana seems to be the lightning rod of controversy. Other than that, it's just a bunch of who the fuck cares. You know what I mean? There's really not jumping out to me. It's all right, this woman's the next big thing in the WWE. You know, this woman's going to win Tough Enough. You know, and even on, you know, the other seasons when there were women, you could tell right off the bat who stood out and who didn't. To me, none of them stand out on the women's side at this point. What about you? Who stands out to you on the women's side, if anybody?
Yeah, you're right. Honestly, I haven't watched them all the way through. I've just kind of caught the endings. But yeah, the ladies don't kind of. I mean, the only one who stands out to me is Sarah Lee. And she's just very. I like the look. She seems very cool, very kind of punk rockish. I like it.
She's cute, you know. She's cute, not hot. The thing is, though, she's like the quiet, silent one. Stand out a little bit more, pick herself a little bit more known. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to carry you to the next level. I'm what you want her though. I like her. That Brazilian, I'm give or take on. No, that's not the Brazilian. The MMA girl. The one that outed herself in the first episode, you know what I'm talking about, right? Diarrhea or Daria or whatever the fuck her name is.
Yeah.
I mean, she's sort of stands out too, but other than that, I mean, like I said, I just can't. Diana, the nonstop drama, it's a give or take. It's a give or take.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You think Raw tonight? I mean, obviously, the big news: Brock Lesnar destroys the limits the car. I think we all saw that coming a mile and a half away. We're setting it up. We're setting up the battleground. Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, a couple of weeks from now. To me, there is one of two things that are going to happen at Battleground. I see going on. You know, and there's still the swerve that
Rollins walks out with the belt with Split Shot in either. But to me, all signs seem to be pointing to either Brock Lesnar winning the belt back or Brock winning the Sheamus match. And I could be off on that, but what do you see going down to the battleground here?
You know, I honestly think Brock winning, but I want to say they want to keep the belt on Rollins because of he's the it guy right now. They're really high on him. They really like him too. But I think they're. I'm just not sure where they're going to go with it because Brock's got the limited contract, but at the same time, on that monster, and you just cannot stop him.
Yeah. I mean, my thought is you don't have to have him work every pay-per-view. I understand. Don't have him at every Raw. I get it. You know, I mean, listen, you don't want him to work. Yeah, you don't want him to work Elimination Chamber or, you know, the Pull My Dick in Massachusetts pay-per-view. I'm cool with that, but have him work the big ones, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, Mania, you know, put one or two pay-per-views on it, the B-level pay-per-views in there. You can't have him defend the belt twice in fucking 6 months because I like the idea of the special attraction champion, you know, that the world title means more. But have him defend the damn thing more than he has, you know, and that's the biggest problem I had with Brock's original line. I'm perfectly all right with putting the belt back on him because right now he's white hot. I mean, he is the biggest thing in the business right now. And people are behind him as a face. And, you know, you could do a whole lot of stuff with him as a face. I mean, imagine him as a face going against the Authority. I mean, it's gold. But you can't just have him, like I said, show up once in a blue moon and defend the belt full time. And that's just, people aren't going to buy into it. So I'm just, you know, to be honest with you, I just can't see Sheamus being the one to beat Brock Lesnar. I mean, cashing it or not, it doesn't resonate with me. And, you know, is Seth Rollins beating him cleanly going to, you know, so my thought is we're going to likely see if Seth retains, it's going to be through some bullshit, you know, screw job, dusty finish ending where Seth gets disqualified or Brock gets DQ'd or some garbage like that.
I don't want it to happen that way, but it might. I would actually like to see a Sheamus versus a Brock Lesnar because both would just like potato each other. Like they seem like they will be just beat the living crap out of each other, and it would be a good one because it'll give legitimacy to these two guys who don't really need legitimacy. But they can show that they can make them, they can do shit right.
Well, I mean, if you remember some of the feuds of the 90s, I mean, which was, you know, a little bit before your time, that's when I was still a kid. But, I mean, you got, I think of one feud, and that's Vader versus Stan Hansen. It wasn't the most technical feud in the world, but you got two hosses that just went in there and beat the shit out of each other. And, I mean, that's what I think Sheamus versus Brock could be if pushed right.
You broke up. I heard Stan Hansen's name in there. Who else did you say?
Stan Hansen and Vader. I mean, I think this could be a modern version of that where they just, nothing technical, nothing pretty. If you want a 5-star classic, you're not going to see it. But if you want to see two beasts beat the shit out of each other, I think that could be the feud. And I think there's some potential with that.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, Or even back in the 90s, the Vader versus Kane.